But I love this. How many of you wish you had a great big cup of coffee right now? Yes, because how many of you are falling asleep because it's been a long day? Okay, don't fall asleep or I will call it. No. But I do love coffee. I sometimes have been known, my doctor actually told me that I had to stop drinking so much coffee. Do any of you understand what I'm talking about? Has anyone else drank so much coffee that when you lay down at night, you absolutely cannot sleep? And, you know, you feel your heart pounding. Is that just me? Maybe there's something else wrong. I found this and I have to share this with you. You know you've been drinking too much coffee when? And I just want to read a couple of these. I just thought they were funny. You speed walk in your sleep. You answer the door before people knock. You just completed your third sweater today and you don't even know how to knit. You can type 60 words a minute with your feet. Your thermos is on wheels. I love that one. You don't tan, you roast. That's a good one. Juan Valdez named his donkey after you. And then I love this. You're not waiting for Mr. Right, you're waiting for Mr. Coffee. And this is my absolutely favorite. You're employee of the month at the local Starbucks and you don't even work there. I know some people that would qualify for. Well, I absolutely do love coming here. And this is my favorite church to come and get to speak in. And I have to say that because I love the spirit here. And I love it that there is a heart for learning and that the women here are not just spectators, they're participants. And I see that every time I come to this church. It doesn't matter if it's for a conference or just a regular service, the women are so involved. And I think that that is such a wonderful thing because when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you're supposed to live your life for Him. And we live our lives not just by the way we live, by the things that we do every day. And by being a part of this church, it's wonderful. It's, God wants you to be actively serving Him. And you know, as you're serving the Lord, a lot of times we want to look at it and have the Bible be very simple and everything's cut and dry. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. If I do everything right and I serve the Lord and I'm faithful, I'll never have any problems. How many of you thought that when you got saved that now life was going to be perfect and rosy? You'd never sin again, never had problems. Anybody think that besides me? I thought everything was going to be great. Did you find out it was false? Yes. And you know, the truth is we do have a lot of things in our lives that hurt us. And tonight I want to talk to you about muffins and hugs. I want to talk to you about what to do, finding comfort for our hurts. Take out your Bible and an ink pen. I always say this, and it's true. It's better to have a dirty Bible than a dirty life. And you need to write things in your Bible. You need to mark it up when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. I know people that don't ever mark up their Bible. Don't ever. And if you want to be that way, that's okay. But I'm telling you, it's better if you take it and mess up this copy of the word that you have and have ink marks in it and remember what God said to you. So take that out tonight. We're going to talk tonight about dealing with the hurts and the disappointments in our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I have had hurts in my life in the last week. I would dare say, and I'm going to do this, and I don't want you to tell me what it is or tell anybody else, but how many of you would say in the last year of my life, I've had something that hurt me very deeply to where I cried about it? Raise your hand. Almost everybody in this room. And how many would you be honest and say something happened in the last month that I cried over? Besides a TV show. Raise your hand. You know what? We do cry and we do hurt. And one of the things that we have to remember is as women, God created us to be emotional. And it's a good thing. One of the greatest assets of being a woman is that we are the emotional creature. But always remember this, your greatest asset is also your greatest liability. And those of us who feel deeply, who love deeply, who care deeply, when we get hurt, we often get hurt deeply. We feel very deeply about our wounds and the disappointments. And we have to always understand that life is going to have hurts. It's not going to be perfect. Nothing's going to happen that's going to make everything just, you know, there is no happily ever after until you get to heaven. And yet we look at these things and we think, you know, how do I handle the hurts that come into my life? Now, let me just say this. Satan always wants to take whatever happens to you, whether it be a good thing or a bad thing, and try to hurt you with it, try to damage you, and try to use it for his benefit. So anything that comes into your life that hurts you, you might look at it and say, oh, well, that hurts my feelings, or this made me feel bad, or I'm sad about this. Well, Satan wants to take it and make it even worse. And so we have to look at this as spiritual women, and we have to be wise women, and we have to be very much, as the Bible says, on guard, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And over the years in ministry, I have seen more women get bitter and quit and get disgruntled and tear apart their church and their family and their kids over hurts more than anything else. And when we look at the things in our lives that have hurt us, even things that are far back in our past or things that maybe just happened today, when we look at those things, if we don't handle them properly, if we don't look at it and be wise about it, Satan will use that to destroy you. And so when I talk about hurts or muffins and hugs, it's not just, oh, there, it'll be okay. This is a very important spiritual battle. And when we look at this, we have to be on guard and be aware and look at it and see what God would have us to do. Now, let me just say this. What would be some things that would cause us hurt? Now, some of the obvious things. Somebody says you're ugly. Somebody gossips about you. Somebody makes fun of your car. Somebody makes fun of your kid. Somebody takes something that's yours. But, you know, things can be a little more serious. You know, sometimes husbands say things and hurt your feelings. Don't ever ask ladies, how does this look? That is the dumbest question a woman could ask a man, right? Because they're going to tell you the truth and then you're going to be really mad. So just don't ask. But sometimes husbands will do horrible things that hurt us, like have an affair or leave us or tell us that they don't love us anymore. Sometimes problems come in. A sickness. Maybe you know someone who has a bad sickness and that hurts you. Perhaps you have prayers that have gone that you felt God didn't answer it how you wanted it answered. Maybe you had someone in your life who was terminally ill and you asked God to heal them and God didn't do it. Maybe in your life the thing that has hurt you the most have been problems in your own family. Maybe when you were a child. Perhaps you've been abused. Perhaps things have happened to you where you were neglected or you didn't feel loved. Maybe in your life, you had a death of a loved one at an early age. Maybe your mom or dad died. Maybe your spouse died. Maybe you've lost a child. We think about those different types of regrets that we have that hurt us. I don't know about you, but I have things in my past that I feel very bad about, that I wish I could undo them. And it still hurts me to this day what I did, or the results of it, or even just how I feel about myself because of what I did. A lot of times, we can have people problems that hurt us, problems at work, relationship issues of any kind with friends, sisters. How many can amen that, right? If she's next to you, don't amen. We can even have spiritual struggles in our lives that hurt us. And, you know, the Bible talks about us struggling with those besetting sins that, you know, you come to the altar how many times and say, God, help me. I don't want to fail again. And then you find yourself doing it again. And all of those things come and so many things in our lives can wound us and hurt us. And Satan enjoys that. Don't you think for a second that he is just kind of, you know, doesn't care about it? Don't think that it's inconsequential to him, because Satan watches for those things. And don't you think for a minute that he can't wait for his turn to twist the knife and make it hurt a little worse. Satan will do whatever he can to sidetrack you. See, the devil often takes those hurts and those things, and he will make us bitter. And the Bible warns us about that. It says that we need to be aware, because the root of bitterness springs up. And not just you are hurt, but many others are defiled. And when we look in, we're talking about dealing with wounds and hurts. This is a very serious thing. Now, let me just say this too. Now, sometimes those hurts don't just make us cry or feel bad. Sometimes hurts can make us feel angry. If you were a child that was abused, if you know exactly what I mean. You look back and you feel angry, especially as you've gotten older and you understand the implications of it. Sometimes we struggle with that over our hurts, not just being sad or crying about it or upset, but a true anger. Sometimes our hurts make us feel unloved by God because we look at the things that happen to us and we think, God, I thought you loved me. How could you let this happen in my life? And we look at that, and while we might not shake a fist at him, we often will turn the cold shoulder, and we'll be just a little more upset with him than we've been before. And while we might not voice those words, down deep in our heart, we don't feel loved by him, and we feel let down. Now, you know, all of those hurts, they can cause us to turn away from all that God wants us to have. Everything that he wants you to be and everything that he wants you to do. And instead of walking with God down the road of life, you find yourself sitting in the ditch very upset. And either you're crying or you're pouting or you're just plain mad. So how do you look at your hurts? How can you safeguard yourself from letting your hurts hurt you more deeply? You will have hurts, ladies. I wish I could tell you that once you get saved, you never have a trouble again. But hurts are gonna come. They're a reality. They are part of life. And those hurts and those disappointments can make you or break you. But the choice is up to us. So what do we need to do? First of all, open your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm gonna give you 4 points tonight. And I want you to write them next to the verse that I'm going to give you for each point. Romans chapter 8, verse number 18 says this. For I reckon, or I believe, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let me read that again for you. Romans 8, 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Number one, remember there's a purpose for your pain. Remember there's a purpose for your pain. Now, let me just say this. God never inflicts hurt into your life and pain to be mean to you. Sometimes, and I'm going to be a little transparent with you tonight. I grew up in a very unstable home. There was a lot of fighting, a lot of insecurity, a lot of upsetness. And when I was a little girl, I rode the church bus, and I went to church, and I got saved. And when I did, I knew I got saved, and I loved it. I loved church. I couldn't even read yet. And I remember I would go home and get a dictionary out and pretend it was a Bible and pretend I was my Sunday school teacher. And I loved it. And as I got older, and I started to realize, you know, when you're kindergarten, first grade, you don't really realize that there's a difference between you and the other kids. Everybody's pretty much on the level field. But when you start to get a little bit older and you realize your life isn't what other people's lives are like, as a child, it certainly seems unfair. And I can remember being a little mad at God. And I remember feeling like, God, I love you and I want to be a Christian. And there's girls in my class who don't even care. And they make fun of this stuff and they've got moms and dads that are still married. And their home is stable and somebody loves and takes care of them. And I'm not sure if you're like me, but I know that at that point, not only did I have the hurt of home, but I remember looking at that and thinking, ooh, that's not fair. Would you admit that you felt that before in your life? Have there been things that have happened to you that you've looked at and say, what in the world are you thinking, God? Why did you allow this? But ladies, the Bible teaches us in this verse that there's a purpose for everything that God allows to happen to you. And the purpose is not that he would just suffer you to see if you're going to get through it, but rather just how this Bible says that he wants his glory to be revealed in us. While we have those hurts and we have those things that burden us and make us feel bad, those trials, those disappointments are to bring glory to Jesus Christ and to show his presence in us. Now, let me say something. My life as a child, I don't have a lot of happy memories. And it was very difficult. And the older I got, the more embarrassed I was of it. And I used to not tell anybody. And I remember going to Bible college, and I never told anybody I was a bus kid. I didn't want people to know. I wanted to be like the deacon's daughter. And you know what's very interesting? When God finally broke my heart over what I had gone through, not just hurt me, like not just the things that wounded me, but when I started to realize how many other people had hurts just like me. Because the number one thing that God has allowed me to use in my life to minister to other people are my hurts. And when I'm able to share my testimony, or I'm able to help a girl whose mom and dad are going through a divorce, or when I see a little child that no one gives attention to and I'm able to do that for them. See, it's not because now I'm so wonderful, but it's God in me. See, I know what they felt like. And the Holy Spirit can poke my heart and say, remember? Remember what you felt like? And because of that, I can talk to that girl. I can talk to that child and say, I know how you're feeling, but can I tell you that God loves you and that God has a plan for your life? And those things that have hurt me the most are where God has shined the brightest in my life. And we have to always remember that God has a purpose in your pain. Number two, I want you to open your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's just like a speed drill. Come on, first one there gets a candy. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4 for you. The Bible says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Number two, realize God wants you to use your hurts to help others. Realize God wants you to use your hurts to help others. Now, let me just say this. When you're going through a hard time or you're hurting, oftentimes in our lives, we look at it and we don't feel how God feels about what's going on in our lives and in our hearts. And these verses teach us that when we're hurting, God longs to comfort us. He longs to come alongside us and tell us, I've got this under control. It's gonna be okay. And he longs to talk to us and give us that supernatural comfort that only he can give. Now, let me say this to you. When you're going through it, you will feel the comfort of God if you're seeking it. And I remember times in my lives when I had health problems. And I remember one time in particular, right after I had my last child, I was having liver problems. And they kept doing liver tests. Now, how many of you know that postpartum women are a little emotional? Anybody else understand that? Okay, I thought I was dying. I was scared to death, and I was just convinced that I had liver cancer. Now, I went home. This is how bad it was, girls. I went home from the doctor when they just said something wasn't right. I cleaned my whole house for all the closets. I organized the family pictures, and I started planning my funeral. Do you understand? And so I did all that, and it's so funny, but I was hurting a lot. And I remember that I had to go in for an MRI. They wanted to do a head-to-toe MRI. And so I went in there. And my husband had come with me, and I was a mess. And I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart as though I could hear him. I'm right here with you. We're going to be okay. And so I went in there, and it was so funny. You know how anybody had an MRI? Do you know that they give you music? They offer you music now, okay? So I said, well, you know, the Christian stuff is weird. So I'm like, okay, I'll take classical music. So they roll you in, you know, you're going in. Guess what comes on, girls? Rap music. How did they get that confused? Me. So I'm like laughing, you know. But I'm going to tell you this. I was so upset, but I remember laughing with the Holy Spirit about that. How silly. But I'm going through something so difficult, but I could feel his presence. Now, let me tell you, obviously, I didn't have liver cancer. I'm still here. My pictures are now disorganized again, and so is my house. But I'm still working on my funeral. But here's the thing. When I went through that trial, and they didn't know what was wrong with me, when someone comes to me now and says, oh, Penny, pray for me. I'm going in for medical test. You can bet I do. You can bet that I empathize with that person because now I know how it feels. And when you're going through something, there's nothing like talking to somebody who's been there. Do you know what I mean? Isn't that the truth? And God looks at you, and sister, he trusts you enough with that hurt to say, God, I'm going to learn whatever you're going to give me through this. I'm going to take your comfort, Lord. And when you get me through this trial, Father, I'm going to reach out to somebody else that's going through it. I have women in my church that have gone through breast cancer. And I've watched them come faithfully to church. And I had two other women in the last month go back in for biopsies. Do you know who I sent to minister to those women? The ones that had been through it. God wants to take those hurts and use them to help other people. One of the testimonies of God's grace in a hurting time came to me at a time when I was going through a struggle. Story was told of a family who left England in 1881 to come to America. The family had lost everything financially. They had a death of a child, the death of a father. They were going through unbelievable suffering. And it was a point in England where, people didn't go. There was no welfare. There was no help. They didn't know what to do. They sold the last few possessions that they had and decided that they would come to America. And so this family, they packed everything up, and they got on the voyage, and they had told them it would take 3 weeks to get from England to New York Harbor. And they got on the ship, and they had just enough money. They had planned it out. They had, with every child, how much food they would need for 3 weeks, the money that they would need once they were in America to get to where they were giving away farmland. And they looked at that, and they planned it out. Well, when they were on the ship, two terrible things happened. First of all, great storms came up, and the voyage that was supposed to take 3 weeks took 7. And one of their children got deathly ill, and they had to pay and have the ship's doctor take care of the child. By the time they reached New York City, they had not a dime left. They didn't know what to do. There was no phone. There was no way to call someone to get help. They knew no one there. And they did the only thing that they knew to do. They stopped there on the dock in New York Harbor. And the father took the mother's hand and the little children, and they all knelt down on that dock and they started to pray, God help us. We don't know what to do. And just about that time, one of the dock workers had gone home, and he was sitting down to eat with his family, and he was a Christian man. And the Holy Spirit prodded him and said, go back to work. And he looked at his wife and he said, I don't know why, but I've got to go back to the dock. And as he rounded the corner, he saw that family kneeling on that dock. And he went over to them and he goes, I know exactly why God told me to come down here. And he took that family and he took them to his home. And he fed them and they ended up staying with him for a few weeks until that sick child was better. And then he personally gave them the money to get to the end, to get to their little homestead. And you know, I look at that, and you know, that testimony of that family is not just that God took care of them. But you see, their testimony lives on. A book was written about that family. And in that story, it tells about their loss and the death of their child in England and the sickness of the one on the way over here. And it talks about the hurts on the journey of life. But in that book about this family, it also tells how through it all, God comforted them, that God came to them, that God came through, that no matter what they had to face, he was there for them. And during their trials, they constantly served the Lord. And in the little village of what was a little village, there is now a great city, of Whittlesey, England, This family was faithful in the Whittlesey Baptist Church, which is still standing there today. And when they left, they were presented with a hymn that was written by the music minister in that church in 1881. And that hymn was written to this family, thanking them for their service and the fellowship. And he was one of the lay preachers in the church, and for his sermons. And there was a little section at the bottom, the last chorus of the hymn. And it said, as you go to this new world, may you and your children after you continue to show the goodness of God throughout life. And may everywhere they go, may they win souls to Jesus. And you know, when I read that book, I was going through a really rough time in my own life. My husband had just started pastoring, and we had taken a little church of about 25 people, and it was so hard. And there was $400 in the church account when we came, and much, much more was owed, over $400,000. And when we came, and it was just so hard, and I kept looking at our lives and thinking, what should we do different? What should we do different? God, help me. Help me to help my husband. And I remember reading that, and it had such an impact on me that over 120 years earlier, God had come through for those people. And you know, I read about that, that family that lost so much, that hurt, but God was faithful to them. And as I read their testimony of their suffering, I was reminded that the same God that got them through their heartache would get me through mine. And you know, that family wasn't just any family. They were my husband's third great-grandparents. And I love reading that story. And I know the testimony at the end, 120 years later. And yet I often think, did Samuel and Mary know that God would use the hurts in their lives to impact their descendants that were still serving the Lord? And ladies, we don't know what God is going to do with the hurts in our lives. You see, God took those hurts and ministered to me through what they had gone through to keep me going as I was still serving him. And I wonder, who is there in your life that you're going to have an impact on? How many of you have children in here? How many of you have grandchildren? How many of you teach school or Sunday school? How many of you have sisters? How many of you have nieces and nephews? Now, I want you to stop for a minute and think of all the lives that you touch. You know, those that love us the most and are closest to us know when we hurt. And they're watching you. And God wants to take those hurts in your lives and reach out and minister to them through you. But you won't have the tools to do that if you allow yourself to become bitter and angry about the hurts. But if we choose to submit and say, Lord, what do you want to teach me? God, help me not to miss anything so that I can help other people. Number four, are you ready? Get out your Bible and turn to John chapter 14. Second to the last point, John 14. Number three, are you ready? You awake back there? They need that coffee. Number three, John 14, verses 16 through 18. The Bible says, and this is Jesus talking, and I want you to pay close attention because you've heard these verses before, but let's take time and look at this. The Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now pause right there for just a second and look at me. Jesus is talking about the sweet Holy Spirit. Don't you love it that his name is the Comforter? And Jesus said, I am going to send someone to give you comfort. Now, I want to say this right here. Jesus also says, those people who are in the world who don't know me as their Savior don't have him. And I look across this room tonight and all the faces in here. And I just wonder, would there be maybe someone in this room that does not know Jesus Christ is their Savior for sure? And as we said here as a church family, you know, you look at that and say, oh, sure, we're all saved. Oh, I've been coming here since I was in the nursery. But just because you attend a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. And we need to look at that and study our own hearts and make sure Jesus Christ is our Savior. And can I encourage you, if you have any doubt, deal with it. Because as you go through life and these hurts come, you need that Holy Spirit to get you through. Without Him, you're not going to be able to make it. But look what Jesus said in verse number 18. Because I want you to catch this. Jesus said that He would send the Holy Spirit, but then look what He said. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now let me say this to you. How many of you know we often think of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? But we forget that they are three in one. And when you are hurting, the Bible says that God is nigh unto them that are of a contrite, or those that are hurting, or the heart that is overwhelmed, that God comes to you. And I want you to write this next to this verse. Remember, Jesus promised He would be there to comfort you. I love that phrase, I will come to you. Remember, Jesus said that He would be there to comfort you, just as He promised. And can I testify here to you that He's always come to me and that He's never left me hurting alone? And I would encourage you to circle that verse. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Number four, last point. Turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15, verse 4. The Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Number four, write this next to this verse. Run to the Lord and His word when you're hurting. Run to the Lord and His word when you're hurting. Now let me just say this to you. A lot of times we hurt or feel bad about something, and do you know what we want to do? We want to run to somebody else. We want to call somebody, call our mom, call our sister, gripe at our husband, cry on someone else's shoulder, listen to Oprah and Dr. Phil and see what they think about it. Right? And ladies, God does not want us going to everybody else for comfort. And how foolish of us when we have that right in us and we ignore it. And God says, run to me. Come to me. Go to my word. How many times do we need comfort and this Bible sits on a shelf, all dusty and not used? Can I encourage you that if you're going through a time of trials and hurting, to bathe yourself and bathe your soul in the word of God? Take the book of Psalms and read it. And read it, and read it. I encourage you this. I have the book of Psalms on CD, and I play it in my car. Get it on your phone. Whatever it takes, get it into you. And constantly be giving yourself the word of God to comfort you. Because when we don't have that going in, those are the tools that the Holy Spirit uses to comfort us with. Now, when your life caves in, and things are going to happen, it's not a real happy-go-lucky lesson to teach, but ladies, it's real. And we're going to have to deal with trials in life. And we're going to have loss, and we're going to have disappointments, and we're going to have betrayals, and we're going to have hurts. But when problems happen, we don't need reasons, we need comfort. We don't need answers, we need the comforter. When things are going on in your life, we have to remember that God promises He will come to us. And through His word, He will give us comfort. Can I ask you tonight, While everything is changing in your world, what are you hanging on to? When things are going on to you in your heart and you feel ripped apart by the hurts that just seem to be drowning you, what are you turning to? Are you turning to other people? Are you Googling the problem on the internet looking for help? Or do you hang on to the Lord Jesus? You know, the choice is ours. We can go to people who aren't going to be there forever. We can look for the answers of man, or we can go to the one true comforter who never leaves us. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, when I remember all that I have to deal with, and ladies, some hurts are eternal. Some, the hurt of like my childhood is not going to just disappear and be all better. But when I remember that my Jesus was there through it all, it's okay. It's okay. So what about you tonight? Are you hurting? Is there pain in your heart that you just can't handle? What's got you feeling overwhelmed? Has somebody broke your heart? Somebody made you feel worthless? What's going on that you look at your own life and feel like it's just pulling you under? Maybe it's old hurts. Maybe it's new hurts. Maybe it's the worry about future hurts. We've all got a lot of stuff going on. But ladies, we have to remember something. There's a purpose for everything that's happening to you. God is there. He wants you to use those hurts to glorify Him. And while you're allowing Him to work in you and to change you through your hurts and comfort you, run to Him. Get on His lap and let Him comfort you. How's it going to turn out for you? In the end of your life, are you going to lay there in a coffin and they're going to go, boy, she was a bitter old lady. Glad she's gone. Or are they going to look at you and say, wow, when they hear your testimony of what you went through, are they going to go, wow, I would never guess that she hurt like that. All she ever did was glorify the Lord. Choice is up to you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus.